Now, you can rest assured that you'll all be home in time for whatever it is you have to be home in time for. I can't think of anything you need to go home for. It's been good just to be here tonight, hasn't it? I was just a little shocked when that building burned down in Las Vegas. And I want to share a few things with you. People in our day are running around trying to extract a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Oh, you can whoop it up. I see you down here having fun. Now, if anybody in all this congregation knows how to meditate, our young people and a few of the in-betweeners know very well. The word to meditate means to chew the cud. And some of you do that very well. What's funny is watching when you get into a mess with all that you chew. I was conducting a wedding once. This girl came down the aisle and she was wearing her great-grandmother's, or at least her grandmother's, veil in beautiful handmade Spanish lace. Oh, it was beautiful. And she had beautiful lace gloves on. I don't think I'd ever seen lace gloves before. They went all the way to her elbows. She came forward and she was chewing. Oh, it was good. Smelt terrible, but it looked good. And she was enjoying herself, and we were singing a hymn. And I leaned forward. She'd arrived, and all the wedding party was assembled. And I leaned forward, and I said to her, "Will you be able to say your vows with that gum in your mouth?" And she went, "Oh." And she pulled it out. The trouble was, her gloves that were made of Spanish lace were still on, and her veil was still over her face. Yeah. Ugh. She ruined the veil and ruined the gloves, but I guess it tasted better after that. And I watched you a little earlier on, passing a piece of gum down. Everybody was chewing it and passing it on. What a disgusting habit. So I imagine if I talk to you about meditation, you'll all understand exactly what I mean, because to meditate on something means to, that's nice. You can press it on your top gums, and you can stick it in your bottom gums. You can hide it under your tongue. If somebody punches you on the back, you'll swallow it. But it'll taste good. And if it doesn't, you just take it out and roll it in your hand for a few minutes, and put it back in, it tastes different. Or does your chewing gum lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight? So you know how to meditate, is that right? Well, now let me share with you some meditation. I think we should stop and think. There was a fire in a large hotel in Las Vegas. And I wonder how many women today are mourning husbands that said they were on a business trip but weren't. They were chasing after some fun. I wonder how many men today are grieving over wives that had to visit some relative, distant and unknown to the husband, but suddenly was conjured up in the imagination. I wonder how many men are grieving over a wife found, wounded, or dead, or just discovered. You might meditate on that just for a minute. I just wonder, in this vicious search that we have for fun, why it is that we go off into such tangents. See, angels, we're told, have charge over the people of God. And they will come when the Lord Jesus comes. Now, you all have Bibles, and I know you do. If you didn't bring one, there's one right in front of you. Please open your Bibles. Turn to the second epistle of Paul to the church at Thessalonica, which is 2 Thessalonians and chapter 1. And we discover that when Jesus is going to come, angels are going to come with him. They're going to be the attendants of the Lord Jesus. They are going to be the attendants of the Lord Jesus. The angels are going to come. Look at verse 7 of chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians, and you will discover these words: "To you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction," and so on. The angels are going to come. And I want to say this to you: how many of us would be seeking after all kinds of fun only to discover that when Jesus comes, his angels come with him, and the angels have been given charge over us anyway. It doesn't mean they necessarily stop us. It doesn't mean that they will necessarily bring us to our knees and stop us from seeking our fun and chasing after all sorts of things. See, angels normally bring good tidings. But as I listened to the various radio and television broadcasts about this dreadful fire, I discovered as I was listening, as the news media were discovering some of the facts, that two men at least died because they were collecting all the money and stuffing it into bags and tearing off to put it in the vault so it wouldn't burn. Not only do we seek fun at any cost, we seek funds at any cost. And the cost of a life is insignificant so long as we can pile up our funds. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand some more scripture. So turn with me, please, to 1 Timothy. And the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse. Without controversy, says the writer, or controversy, if you can't speak English. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Seen of angels. These are the bringers of good tidings. Go into the Gospel of Luke. Go into the Gospel of Matthew. Go into those Gospels and you'll hear that the angels of the Lord said, unto you a son is given, unto you a child is born. His name shall be called Emmanuel, Savior, Jesus, for he shall save his people. Angels are the bringers of good tidings, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Ah, but we've got to have our funds. Where is this goodwill towards men? Where is it? A few days ago, I went to a bank in this town to open an account with a very small amount of money. I said to the young lady, I want to open an account. I want to open a savings account. And the lady looked at me and she said, right-ho, here's the form, fill it in. So by the time I refound whatever my social security number is and written that down and signed my name and told her where I was born and how I was born and all the marks that I've got on my body so that they could identify me should I ever pass a check from a savings account, of course. And once they got all that information, I said, well, there's the money. And she looked and said, is that all you're opening the account with? I said, yes, that's all. Oh, she said, you've got to have twice that amount. We can't open an account. I said, oh, well, I'm very sorry. I've obviously come to the wrong bank. Goodbye. Oh, by the way, can I have that form? Oh, no, she said, that's ours. So I picked it up and said, lady, sorry, that's mine. Curious, isn't it? Now I haven't got enough money to open an account. Isn't that awful? Of course, I was rather pleased with myself. You all know my car was crashed and they gave me a check for that car. It wasn't worth fixing. I was rather proud of a whacking great size check that big. I don't think I've seen one that big for a long time. And so the next day or 2 or 3 days later, I was able to go past and I just walked in. I said, lady, I just want to talk to you. See what could have got in your account? Curious, isn't it? We got some more odd ideas. I know that's good business. I know. I understand all that. I'm quite aware. It's all good business. But is all business good? The angels tell us of the good tidings of Jesus. We really don't have to worry too much about funds. And those of us that are so terribly worked up about funds, we ought to be a little more relaxed. Hey, do you know, Vernon didn't tell you all that went on with that amount of money, the 1,500 of which came in yesterday while Renee and I were in the store with him. What they really needed was $3,500. But a couple of days before, someone had said, I've got 2,000, here you are. So he put the 2,000 in. All he needed was another 1,500. And then the lady phoned and said, here's the other 1,500. It seems to me that before you call, God said, I will answer. But we chase fun at any cost. We chase funds at any cost. And we cut God out from giving us the glory and for giving himself a lot of glory. See, for a miracle to take place, I hope that in the next few days, we will all be able to say, yeah, it's time that organ got pensioned off. Because we discovered a deal about an organ, see? Oh, it's beautiful. It'll make us sound like a cathedral. Well, make us sound better than we are. And we don't have all the money, but we have some. Ah, we have some. Now, where's the rest going to come from? Ah, I know. I could stand here and say, raise your hand and give us $10. Raise two hands and give us 1,000. And the Lord will bless you 1,000 for 10 or 10 for 1,000. And I can tell you all sorts of silly things like that. I could have you write in. We could have a day of writing pledges. Yeah, we could do that. Would you join me in praying that God will allow some miracle that will surprise us all? Hey, why don't we all get on our knees and say, Lord, we don't quite know how much more money we need, but we need that much, and I've done my part. I don't think I can do any more. So now, Lord, can you please work a miracle? You know what I think? It'll be paid for. See, the day's coming when we think we'll put a balcony in the top here. At least take that wall out and move it back and put the narthex out where the grass is out there. Won't that be exciting? How will we do it? Well, we ought to have a building fund. We ought to have a thermometer dangling down from the ceiling. And for every dollar, we'll build it up. Well, that's a good idea. Sort of keeps you looking warm and cozy. But, you know, I would love to know that there were a group of people here, there, and everywhere on their knees and saying, Lord, we need some miracles. Please. We need a girder. We need some tubifores. We need some sheetrock. We need some planking. We need some nails. We need some energy. We need some people. Lord, will you please work a miracle? Isn't that what we need? I get so excited when a miracle takes place. I know some of you sitting out there would say, Prakash, there's a lot of people in Prakash that seem to have money. What's $1,500? If you'd have seen what I saw in the eyes of the person that knew that the money had been given, you'd have said, God has just opened the windows of heaven and poured out a blessing. And it gets very exciting to see a blessing. Seen any blessings lately? Hey, you young fellas and girls, did you pray recently and see God answer? Or did you connive to get the answer? Hey. Let's get to the place where we see some exciting things, because angels are there and they're always in the presence of God the Father. Angels are the choristers of heaven. They are always singing. They always behold the face of the Father. They're forever singing when people turn from sin and become the people that are following the Lord Jesus. You've still got your Bible open, so turn with me to Luke 15, please. Luke 15, and let's look for a moment at verse 10. For in that 10th verse, likewise says Jesus, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And the beautiful thing here is this, that this isn't for the person that comes to Christ the first time. This is the sinner that repenteth. I am a sinner. Oh, I'm saved by grace. See, if you read the context, you will discover that the context is this, that the man of whom Jesus is about to speak is called the prodigal son who went into a far country and did foolish things and wasted all his substance, and all he had left was to fellowship with pigs. And he put his hand in the pig swill and he found a chunk of something. He came to the place where he didn't ask too many questions what it was. And he chewed on that. Your gum would have tasted like a banquet. Listen to Jesus. He says, the sinner that repenteth, the man, the woman that was in that MGM hotel that shouldn't have been there, the man, the woman that was in that relationship and knew they shouldn't have been there, if they would repent right now, no matter what mischief, no matter what fun they were chasing, no matter what funds they were spending and squandering, no matter what they were doing, if they will repent, angels will sing in heaven. Let's imagine just for a moment, sort of my naughty imagination, but let's suppose just for a moment that the Godhead is having a rest in the middle of the heavenly afternoon. And as they're resting and perhaps snoozing, reclining, I suppose, on wedged between stars and sort of watching the mobiles of the moons whizzing by, they hear singing. Can you imagine the voice of God saying to an angel not too far away, would you ask them to be quiet? Ask them to go to another planet. I would like to catch my rest. Instead, I believe this, that God the Father would very quickly say something in this wise. Isn't it amazing? Someone on earth has just got right with us again. What are they singing this time? Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice. And can it be that I should gain an interest in my Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain for me, who him to death pursued? Amazing love! How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? I think I can see John and Charles Wesley approving that they sing that in heaven. Have you got any imagination left? The angels sing. When you Christians, when we get right with God, don't kid yourself that you're always right. I believe that if I receive Christ as my personal Savior, I can never be lost. But I jolly well know this, I can step aside and not be in truthful fellowship with God. I know this, that I can step to one side and be out of kilter with God. I know this, that I can deviate from the right. I can turn to the left and to the right, as did all our forefathers, and in doing so, I incur the grieving of the Spirit of God. And there is need for me, for you, for us who love Jesus Christ as Lord, to recognize him as our Savior and to come again and cause those heavenly angels to sing. I've been so impressed lately. Our men, did you see the enthusiasm? All their toes were tapping. You started clapping. Do you realize what you did? That's not Baptistic. Because it may be Christian, but it's not Baptistic. Do it often. But did you notice? We all got stirred up. Because those fellas, how enthusiastic. Did you see old Bill Patty spitting through his beard? That's why Reese had to stand backwards. Did you see how old Max has relaxed the first couple of times he sang? He was uptight. He could hardly sing. This time he was all smiles and singing away. He was having a wonderful time. I think I was more with Max than anybody. But then there was Art, still as ponderous as ever. You notice how Art doesn't like any of us in the congregation? He won't look at us. Yeah. He just looks across. But he has something with old Bill Patty. Because he looks at Bill. I think he's envious of the hair. Did you see that? Those four fellas, they were enjoying themselves, weren't they? Now, and then, oh, those heavenly Hardys. Didn't they sing heavenly hymns by Hardys? That was beautiful. You know, it was gorgeous. And then the choir, where they're doing all sorts of things. You young men and women, you're singing nicely. Even us older people can listen to you now. That's mostly because we can hear the words. Before, you used to mumble. We didn't get too much of it. Now we understand you. And you're even beginning to like some of the things we sing. Oh, hey, something's going on. Well, I think someone would say, you know what happened, preacher? A few months ago, we got a new music director, and he's responsible for all that. Well, yeah, but don't tell him. I mean, we don't want him asking for a raise yet. Maybe that's part of it. But wouldn't you like to be the music director? Hey, to know that you have a choir of angels, and every time you get right with God, they sing, and they can't stop until you foul up again. Hey, that's an interesting concept. It's as if you're standing in heaven, or really, you're standing on earth, and you're looking up into heaven and seeing all the angels, and you're saying, a one, a two, a three, four. Isn't that right? Aren't you looking up in heaven and saying, all right, Lord, I'm getting right with you tonight. Here I go. Get them singing. Get them going. Angels, sing your scales, because here I come. I'm sorry if you don't like my imagination. But isn't it wonderful? Hey, come on, you've got Bibles. Down into Psalm 34. Okay, and then I'll quit. Oh, dear, the time. That's that Vernon Hart. He took so much time. Dear, dear. Shan't have him again for at least a month. Maybe a bit longer if he stays in India a while. The 34th chapter of Psalms. Let's look at it just for a minute. Because, see, angels defend God's children. Hey, these angels, they're busy little creatures. They're wonderful people that God has created. Look at this 34th Psalm, and in verse 7. Hey, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, those of you who are missionaries, those of you who are Christians, those of you who are standing up to be counted, those of you that are going upstream, those of you that are standing out like sore thumbs, those of you who stand in a crowd but stand alone, those of you who are standing for Jesus Christ and not following the world, not chasing after fun, not chasing after funds, not even looking for fame. My dear people, we are protected by angels. I know some of you go to super schools. Some of you parents put your kids in Christian schools. You think, oh, isn't it wonderful? Now something wonderful will happen. I got news for you about Christian schools. They're great institutions. It's like marriage. It's a great institution if you don't mind living in an institution. Take a little while for some of you to catch, but, you know. It's a great institution. But, oh, my, some people don't enjoy it too much. See, what happens in a lot of Christian schools, in the ordinary schools, there are some boys and girls that get up to mischief and do naughty things. They're nice kids, really. And the parents are told by the teachers, your son could do better. Or they're told by teachers, your daughter, should she ever concentrate, might reach her potential. There's lots of ways of saying your kid's fouled up. And so the people in the community, they hear about Christian schools. Now Christians, they have miracles working. And so they look at their kids and they listen to the radio and they watch television and they hear that Christians have miracles going for them. And they look at their kids and they know a miracle's needed. So they take them to the Christian school and pop them in there for a year or two. What do? Get up to mischief. Why? Because the heart hasn't changed. Then people get discouraged and there's all sorts of things go on. Hey, you may be seeking a little drop of fame and you'll make it. Believe it or not, you'll make it. There's an easy way to make to be famous. Become a criminal. Then you'll be famous. Here's the second easy way. Break God's word and you'll become famous. Sure will. You just fool around a little. Pretend you're a Christian on Sunday and whoop it up on Monday. And you'll become famous. People will talk about you behind their hands, speak about you in the locker rooms. People will speak about you in all kinds of places. It's spread all around town. You'll be famous. But if you want to be famous in heaven, if you want to be famous before God, if you want to be famous in the glory of God, if you want to be understood by God the Father and saved by God the Son, and if you want to be empowered by God the Holy Spirit, understand that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Understand that the angels of God are around the people, even though they stick up like sore thumbs, even though they are running against the tide, even though they are trying to do something very different, even though they have different ways of doing things. My dear people, if we are prepared to stand as the Bible teaches it, not as men teach it, but as the Bible teaches, then the word of God says the angel will protect us all around. Isn't that lovely? I am protected. Sure, you can shoot me, but you can't take away my soul. It belongs to Jesus. One last thing, and then I'll promise to quit. But you've got to open your Bible again. It's important. This is in Matthew. Come with me to Matthew 6. Very exciting. Because you see, in Matthew 6 and verse 10, we discover that angels are the examples of obedience. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? As it is in heaven. Who then does God's will in heaven? Well, it has to be those that live in heaven. And those that live in heaven are angels. They are angels. And the angels, the created creatures that God has made, are in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The angels do the bidding of God the Father. Turn also, please, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 11. For here we discover in verse 10 again, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head, because of the angels. Now, I better explain that, because it sounds rather funny. Paul was instructing ladies to wear hats. Nowadays, they just wear hair. But see, in those days, hair was a sexy thing. And they were displaying their hair. And the men were looking at their hair and thinking, whoa. And so Paul said, ladies, cover your heads. Because the angels are here. Now this is something, you know, you walk into church and some people think they could jump on a pew and run up a pew and jump over a pew and down a pew and over a pew and up a pew, under a pew and through a pew. And in fact, they can do all sorts of things. Phew. And they can get up to all kinds of mischief. We think in church, oh, church, it's like the cinema. No, it isn't. Sometimes the preacher may cut up a little bit. Sometimes things may be a little toe-tapping and hand-clapping, but believe it, you're in the house of God. Believe it. You're in the place where God honors those that gather together in His name, and He blesses them in a special manner. You're very special people when you're in this place worshiping God together. That's a fact. And guess what? The angels of God are protecting us, encamped all around us and watching over us. Did you know that? So, ladies, be careful what you wear because of the angels, if not because of the people. See, we are in the presence of Almighty God. And that means we are also in the presence of His angels. And that also means we are in the presence of the combined power of the Holy Ghost living in every Christian that is in this place. If there is that sort of power in this place, and if that sort of power was put into motion, the locomotion that it would produce would be fantastic if it were all for God. Ah, but people want their fun, that comes first. Then they want all their funds, that comes second. They must have their fame. In order to get it, they become very foolish and delve their lives into lots of folly. What are you doing? Is it time tonight for some of you teens to get right with God? What about those of you who are older? Is it time tonight for you to say, yes, I recognize angels are all around me. The presence of God is all about me. It is time for me to put some things right with God. May I ask you tonight to do it? That if necessary, leave where you sit tonight and speak to someone in this church and put things right. It may be a parent. It may be a spouse. It may be a child. It may be a friend, a relative, distant or near. But we are all one in Christ Jesus. So for the angels' sake, because the angels are obedient, let us make sure that we are very quietly and modestly apparelled and very quietly and modestly in our hearts, quiet before God. That the inner man of the soul is in worship and adoration and praise. Oh, what a time it is to go through the Bible and to discover what angels do. But you know the great tragedy in this congregation? There is an enormous tragedy, and with this I conclude. There will be another fire in another hotel somewhere, somehow. Or it doesn't have to be a hotel and exactly a fire. It may be all kinds of other things. And people that call themselves Christians will be caught. Will you be one? Don't say, not me. Because tomorrow hasn't arrived and you don't know what it has. Just turn your attention on Jesus. Come closer to Him. That's your protection. That's your blessing. And that's His grace. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, how can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? We think of those words and we think of all that we are. We have to say, oh God, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. And so we come to Thee asking that we may be safe, so safe in the arms of Jesus, close to His gentle breast. We want to hear His heart beat. We want to hear His deep breathing. We want to be so close that the warmth of His grace and love shall percolate into our lives. Day by day, as Thy sweet voice sounded, saying, Christian, follow me, we may follow Thee. Keep us from the evil and cause us to be obedient like angels. For Jesus' sake, amen.